You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
today's message. Hey guys, you run across a lot of guys and they talk about how they know God and I know God loves me and I love God. Guys, unless you know Christ, you don't know him in the pardon of your sin. Unless he has blessed you with salvation, you don't know him. And look, you might know him surfacely, but you don't really know him until he has blessed you with salvation. And look, if he's done that, then he's ready to use you, grow you, and minister to you. But many times we got to get out of the way and let God be God. Amen? Amen. He says in verse 13, which things also, he says, we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And he says in verse 14, and this is key, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because, look, they are spiritually discerned. And listen, all these folk going around talking about they know God, you can't know him if you don't have his Spirit. And you can't even understand this book unless his Spirit is in you. Guys, right now, if I just go out and start sinning, just disobey God and start doing what I want to do, though I'm still saved, I've broken fellowship with the Lord. And then if I try to go back in this book and learn something without getting right with him, I'm not getting nothing. Because God's not going to bless me in my mess. I need to get right with him, and then he'll start feeding me, and then he'll start ministering to me, and then we're on the one to be able to do what he called me to do. But I can't sin on one hand and then ask God for a blessing on the other hand unless I'm right with him. And by the way, guys, that thought, word, deed, and attitude. How many thought about something this morning that's sin? Anybody? Did you get that right? Then you don't have to answer this part, but did you get that right with him? And if you have not, you need to. And listen, what I found is that I need to keep short accounts with the Lord. If I'm driving in my car and I see a woman and I'm lusting after her, I don't need to wait until I get home to straighten that thing out. I need to get it right as soon as he opens my eyes and begins to chastise me. I mean, oh God, I blew it. Once again, because we do it over and over and over. But I need to get right with him because I got the rest of my day to go through and I need the blessings of the Lord just to be able to get through my day. Amen. He said in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth, it says, all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And guys, by the way, if you're a Christian, someone who is not a Christian really can't judge you. They can't really even say you're doing wrong, even if you're wrong, because they don't have the capacity to even know what's right or wrong. Then they can say, I saw what you did and it wasn't right. And by the way, God has already touched your heart in regard to that. But they don't have the capacity to even know what right and wrong is. Many times a secular man or unsaved man, or as he's saying here, the natural man, they think sin is if you murder, if you rape somebody, or abuse a child, and they got a pecking order. But God said that anything that's contrary to his word is sin. You know that. You know that. But the natural man does not know that. And the natural man goes through his whole life doing everything he thinks he's big enough and bad enough to do. And guess what? We did as well. But man, anything that's against God is sin. And the only way that a natural man, an unsaved man, can get right with God is to know his son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. because we only have hope. Hallelujah. As I see in that sign on that bookshelf, the only hope that we have is our faith in Jesus Christ. And the world does not have that. He says, but he that is spiritual, verse 15, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind, hallelujah, of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, back to Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 8. In fact, I'm going to start at verse 9. Paul writes here, well, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, he says, who am less than the least of all the saints, is that grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. And we talked about that a little bit last time, man. And Paul said that he is the least of all the saints. Why is he saying that? Anybody? He says, I'm the least of all the saints. And we knew this boy wrote more books than anybody else. He's heavy. But he calls himself the least. Any thoughts?
Humble.
Huh? Humble. He is humble. Well, he's being humble. But there's a reason why he says he looks on himself as the least.
We
looked at the life of Paul prior to salvation, right? What did he do?
Persecuted
the church. That's why he sees himself as the least. In his mind, he should not even be a Christian.
Right.
But God used him anyhow. Because he willfully persecuted the church, incarcerated folk, and some folk even got killed because of him. And I dare say all the way up until the time he got martyred, he probably felt like he was the least. And I got to tell you, sometimes I feel that way as well. I know my sin. I know some of the things that I did. I know some of the folk that I messed up, some women I messed up. And listen, man, I can't go back and get it straight, but it still blows my mind like it blows his mind. How could God save someone, a wretch like me? But I thank God that he did. He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And listen, what I know is that Christ was the arm that God used to even create the world. He was the creative arm of the Godhead. In verse 10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and in heavenly places might be known by the church. And by the way, who's the church? We're the church. It says the manifold wisdom of God. Anybody know what on a car exhaust manifold? Anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it? It goes on the engine. It has a lot of ports, right? Eight cylinder has eight ports. Four cylinder has four ports. And on the intake, same thing. And he's talking about and he says here in the King James, the manifold wisdom of God. And look, what he's talking about is that the many-sided blessings and areas of God. Man, if you're down in your dumps, he's there. If you need to be lifted up, he's there. If you need a financial blessing, he's there. If you're on your sick bed, he's there. And I don't care where you are, the manifold or many-sided blessings of the Lord, he'll be right there. And there's nothing in your life that he can't affect and infect and fix if he says so. But we need to be sold out for him, because he is the one that can take care of all of life's diseases. When the doctor says, there's nothing else I can do, Christ says, move out of the way. I can do it. When it looks like you're at the end of your money, you got to do something and it's almost an emergency. Things can come from nowhere, and it's called miraculous, because Christ can do that. And there's nothing in your life that he cannot touch and bless and fix if you're right with him. And sometimes when he's going to fix it, he might fix it in a way that you never thought he would fix it. In fact, some of you are here because he's fixing something. And this is probably not the choice you have made, but it's the one he made, because he knows what you need more so than what you need or what you know yourself. Amen. Verse 10, he says, to the intent. And now he says, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. It says, be known by the church. In fact, he's saying he's given us this knowledge. It says, the manifold wisdom of God. And guys, many times when you are out in the world and things happen to you, you either start calling on your friends, you try to figure out, how am I going to fix this? You might have been robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you knew that sooner or later this thing was going to come to a head. And what Paul is saying, no, we go to the Lord first. And even if he's going to use an earthly method, he'll direct you to where you need to be. And I dare say many of us have gotten in trouble because we tried to fix our own issues when God is just sitting there saying, you need to call on me and let me fix it. And we need to learn that. And I pray that moment by moment and day by day, we are learning that. He says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, God's plan for the church, but also God's plan for you individually. And he does have a plan, man. And you need to see his working in your life. And if you're not, I would dare say, you might need to start praying toward that end. Because he says that without me, what? You can't do what? Without him. Can't do nothing. But he also says that with him, what? We can do all things. And for whatever reason, especially with men, our pride gets in the way. We figure, I don't need your help. We can fix this. I remember my son when he was a little guy. And he'd make it working on something. I said, here, let me help you. Now I can do it. And guess what? We are that way as a child. And many of us have carried that into adulthood. And somebody want to give you a helping hand. Sometimes the Lord might be sending somebody to give you a helping hand. And we also want to think we can fix it when all we do is make it worse and worse. I just saw on the news that in Hawaii, Maui, that island where everybody goes to resort, that literally that place is a town that is just burning up. And there's nothing they can do. And a lot of folk are running and jumping in the ocean just to save their lives. And 36 people have been found dead thus far. And listen, that's just the latest. There are so many other things happening across the world that we look at, we say, man, that's rough. But guys, man, because of the original sin, and we saw that in Genesis 3, had made everything in this world worse, and it's just getting worse and worse, because man keeps saying that, okay, we can fix it. We can save the whales. We can save the planet. We can do this, and we can do that. And I heard somebody, and this is so ridiculous to me, I'm not even a scientist, that somehow they're going to put some kind of filter around the sun. I have no idea what it is that's going to stop it from being so hot. Now, I'm not a scientist, but how foolish is that? They can't get nothing near the sun without it burning up. How are you going to do that? And listen, because of man's sin, things just keep getting worse and worse, and then man wants to fix it, and it gets worse and worse. And by the way, we used to sing a song, America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and God said, because you turn your back on me, I'm pulling back my grace. And what we are seeing is the results of God not being in the picture. And ultimately, when somebody dies without Jesus Christ and go to hell, they're going to get what they want. No bother from God. And they will wish that they did. Our only hope is faith in Jesus Christ individually and also corporately as a nation and as a world. Guys, those that know the worth of prayer need to be praying right now, not only for our nation and our nation's leaders, but you need to pray for your community. You need to pray for Sita. You need to pray for Buddy. You need to pray for all everybody that you know of, because it's getting dark out here, and it's getting later and later out here. And I dare say I have no date. Surely wouldn't try to put a date on anything. But man, as I'm seeing, man, things are not only are getting worse, but it's starting to wrap up a little bit here on this earth. I pray that you get a sense of that. And if what I'm saying there is correct, and I believe I am, I'm not the only one that says it, then it means that you need to be involved or getting ready to do what God would have you to do. Because we need you. And we need godly men out there. We need some guys that are sold out for the cause of Christ. We need some guys that say, that's it. I'm not going no further in the sin zone. I know God needs me, called me, gifted me, and I'm going to let him use me. And I don't care if something from hell or high water comes. I need him to use me. And I need you in your area, and you in your area, and you in your area. And God says, okay, now I got something to work with, because I got some men who are going to be sold out for me, and they're not going to worry about themselves, but they're going to be concerned about the things of Christ. And maybe, just maybe, God will send a revival. Because that's the only thing that's going to turn this mess here around, is God's hand on this world. Amen. He says in verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, he says, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. And guys, for a lot of years, you are bound, you're in prison, but God, through Christ, has set you free. There was years ago, before they even had engines, they would have animals that would do their chores, and they would have a mill, and they would tie a ox or a mule to this thing, and he would be tethered on a rope. And he would just go around and around the circle. He would make a rut. He was going it so long, and it would turn the grain thing, and it would crush up the grain. And what they found is that when they would cut the rope, and even ready to retire him, he would just keep going around in circles, because he was in prison for so long and did not even realize it, that the rope had been cut. And guys, many of us, I've been in prison for so long, that we've been doing wrong for so long, that God, through Christ, has set you free. And sadly, many will leave this place and go right back to where he delivered you from and start walking around in circles all over again and start doing the very same thing that he delivered you from. But for a godly man, God says that the buck needs to stop with you. I think about my grandfather, who was a womanizer and alcoholic. I think about my father, who was a womanizer and alcoholic. And I think about me, who was a womanizer and alcoholic. And at one point, God met me from eternity and saved me and set me free. And guys, for a lot of years, even after I got saved, I kept trying to go back in that circle that I was trapped in, until God helped me to realize, man, there's nothing holding me here. There's nothing tethered to me. I don't have to keep doing what my father and my grandfather and his father did, that the buck can stop with me. And I dare say, God, the buck can stop with you as well. That there's something that God wants you to do, and he wants you to be the one in the family to break that form and show others in the family that you don't have to go that way anymore, that if you're in Christ, that you have been set free, and we need to walk in the freedom that we have been afforded by the finished works of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians, hallelujah, chapter 3, verse 12, in whom, and he's talking about in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence, it says, by the faith of him. And guys, not only boldness to believe, but boldness to share as well. I got a buddy who's in Christ, and good friend, love him, man, really do. But he's weak in his faith, and he keeps going down the lane of trying to make money in a way that he should not. And yesterday, in fact, I was on the phone with him, and he's my buddy, and I really, really, really didn't want to chastise him. I didn't, but the Lord told me to do that, and I had to kind of read him the riot act, and I said, man, look. The route you keep going down this route, and it's not doing anything for you. All you're doing is being broke, and listen, you're making God look bad because of your testimony. And he said, well, why are you coming down on it? I said, because you need to hear it. And look, I was trying to give it to him easy for a long time, and God said, no, give it to him bold, because he's not hearing, he's not listening. And I hope that maybe somebody else would tell him, but God left it up to me. And in some cases, God's going to leave it up to you. And he says that you can be bold and you can do it with confidence because you're his child and nothing will separate you from the love that he has for you. He says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Wherefore, Paul says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And Paul's saying that, man, I'm going through all kinds of things just because I'm ministering to you. By the way, I'm in jail right now because I was preaching the gospel. He's saying, don't worry about that. Don't worry about me. I'm where God would have me to be. You do what you're supposed to do. And if we all do that, then the church will walk as the church is supposed to walk. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it says the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. And look, Paul's beginning to pray for this church. And by the way, he's praying, and this prayer is applicable to us as well. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, look, by his spirit in the inner man. And listen, what Paul is saying is that, look, you've been walking in the flesh, you've been doing in the flesh, you've been working in the flesh. My prayer is that God would strengthen the inner man, and he'll move the flesh man out of the way, and you will do the will of God as opposed to your will, what you want to do. And that prayer that he's saying to that church is applicable to us as well. That God wants to use you, man. He wants to use you big time, but he can't use you if you stay in his way. Don't walk in the flesh. He says walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You ever see a horse pulling a wagon and they got those little things on his eyes like that? Well, maybe you haven't. Blinders. But yes, they're blinders. And why do you think they put them on him?
No distractions.
Huh?
No distractions.
No distractions. He don't see what's going on over here, and he don't see what's going on over there. He's keeping his tunnel vision on where he's going. He's not concerned about what's behind or what's on either side. All he knows, he's been pointed in this direction, and in that direction he needs to walk. And God says, put your spiritual blinders on. Stop worrying about what your boy's doing. Stop worrying about what's going on over here. And focus in on what I want you to do. And do it. Amen. He says, verse 15, of whom the whole body of heaven, family of heaven, or in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches. And his riches are unfathomable, guys. It says, of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be, look, rooted and grounded in love. And that's an awesome verse, yeah, verse 14, guys. I'm sorry, verse 17. And he's talking about being rooted and grounded, man. You ever see somebody when they plant those little palm trees? They don't have big roots. It's like they just hang there. And they put them in a hole and they plant them. And man, we here in Florida and the winds get pretty horrific. But what I'm told of horticulturists, that man, when the winds get real bad, once those things are rooted, they actually dig in a little deeper and tighter. And though they're already made to sway, they might go all the way down and hit the ground, and then they swing right back up. And that's what Paul's talking about for the believer, that we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ, and something might come along and might have you swaying over here or swaying over there, and your roots in Christ is going to dig even that much deeper, not to mention he's holding on to you. And regardless of what happens, you might be battered, you might lose a few branches, but man, when the wind stops, you're going to come right back up and keep on walking for Jesus Christ. Not because you're so good, but because he's so good. And you're rooted, have a made up mind that I know things are going to come down the pike. I know there's going to be some issues. But I'm not moving from where the Lord has me. And I'm going to dig in deeper, just like them palm tree branches. And I'm not going to let it go. And listen, if I get killed because of what I'm doing for Christ, then so be it. But I got to be rooted in Christ, because I believe without a shadow of doubt that my faith in him and my hope in him is going to bring me through this thing. And just like Paul, if it's time for me to go, for me to live as Christ, I'm going to serve him. And if I die, hallelujah, it's going to be gain. But I'm not letting loose from where the Lord has me until he takes me home. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study. We thank you for these guys that are willing to come out and listen to the word of God this morning. Father, I pray that you have touched and impacted their hearts, and that you'll minister to them in a mighty and a special way. If there's anyone here that's weak, Father, I pray that you strengthen them. If there's anyone here that's going through, maybe physically, Father God, I ask for your healing for them. And Father, for one who might not know you and the pardon of their sin, I pray that you will save them. That, Lord, that's your work. We've laid the foundation. We've prayed over that foundation. We've sprinkled on that foundation. And my prayer is that you will give the increase. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, and let God's church say, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Got a prayer list here. If you have prayer concerns, you need to come up and put your name on it.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministry.